Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 3rd. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Watson.
Good morning, Brian.
How are you doing, Steve?
Good. I brought someone with me.
I noticed that you are traveling. You're being escorted this morning.
Well, part of this is the crushing defeat of the 49ers yesterday during the Super Bowl. I felt that I needed some support.
That was more of a self-induced thing. I don't know if it was. But apparently you must have had some legal wagering associated with it.
I had no wagering.
Really? Not even like a dinner?
Just in my heart, Brian.
Oh. Oh, his heart is broken. Okay. But you know what I was thinking coming in? If a team this year that's 4-12 was told they could make it to the Super Bowl, probably wouldn't mind. Yeah, I mean, the turnaround was still pretty impressive.
That was my only consolation prize. They made a game of it all the way to the last 6 minutes.
Yeah, well.
Then they collapsed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. So, your escort this morning is?
Mr. Thomas Steenblock.
Hi there.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank
you
for having me.
And how did you get suckered into this one?
Well, Chief Watson and I have the opportunity to jointly work together on a number of projects within the community, and I am from Open Door Community Health Centers, and I'm the administrator for a number of services, including our mobile services for the homeless and the underserved. And we have a lot of joint operations going on, particularly in the Old Town area of Eureka.
Well, now that doesn't come as a shocker now, does it, folks? All right. Or why do we say that? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Thomas is ready. Go ahead.
Maintain. This is an easy one. It's a regular word that we use. It's not one of these more esoteric ones. What is the origin of the word maintain?
I usually just say I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I'm thoughtful, but I don't know.
All right. This word is from the Latin manu tenere, which literally means hold with hand. It's a descriptive of holding one's own, to maintain.
No chance to get that word at all. I don't
think. No Latin in your background, huh?
Not enough.
Yeah, apparently. Clearly. So, where do we cross from reality to myth regarding homeless services, Eureka? Because I know, we got emotional on both ends. We got logic at both ends. We got people who use it as a bully pulpit. I think we're all familiar with what that means, right? Good. Oh, the old head bob. All right. It's going to be one of those. Thanks, Steve. So what is actual? I know the count was goofy. I know some of the thoughts are goofy. What is real on this? Where do we start from is what is really known?
Well, from our perspective, yes, counts are always challenging. You know, the methodology changes from year to year that we use to be able to do that in the community. However, that there are a large number of people experiencing homelessness in our community, I think is true. And I think that that's noticeable and obvious that it's more folks than we experienced in the past, even relative to the population. I think that that can be experienced and is clear. Certainly in our own collection of information at Open Door, we see that. We have at least at our last reporting somewhere around 700 people reporting as homeless within our own information that we have, and we don't think that we're necessarily interacting with every unique individual in the community that's experiencing that.
So as we look at that number, 700, and at the same time, when you go to the business community, they're looking for people. You know, I don't know how, I haven't gone through town saying, have job. Is homelessness now a byproduct of non-employment? Or not inability of getting employment, or is it something else? Whether it's the government largesse might be so large that it's not worth getting a job for some people. Okay, fine. Lifestyle, some of the mental health, the drugs. How is this number this large now in such a robust economy?
I think Thomas would probably tend to agree with me when I say that one of the lessons learned early on for those that have at least an open mind and their eyes open is you can't paint all the homeless with one broad brush, and that's why any kind of programs to assist the homeless, hopefully out of houselessness and into stability, is going to have to almost be tailor-made for the individual, because they come with such a wealth of different backgrounds and needs. And I'd also add that when you talk about 600-700, we're talking about the greater Eureka area and the community, not just within the Eureka City limits. County, that's still a large population in need.
Actually, for us, that's in two counties. So it's worth pointing out that Open Door Community Health Center serves in both Humboldt and Del Norte counties, and so that number is collective for the organization overall, and it's an approximation. Because again,
so about out of 175,000,
yes,
we've got about 700.
Yeah, well, that's what we have reporting to us. And
ish.
People accurately report. And again, we're not engaged with every person in the community, though we are open to engaging with every person.
It shows the need is great.
And I think the causes of homelessness are both nationally, this is a national problem, and it's actually an international problem. More and more in the developed world, homelessness as a rate against the total population is rising. There's lots of causes. In America, there's lots of causes. California, there's lots of causes. I would say that the life that most of the folks we are interacting with who are living homeless on the street is really hard and not pleasant, and I don't think that largesse is a good answer to it. Many of the folks we find were people who had severe either health or mental health problems and had a caregiver within a family member who passed away. And without that person to help them balance, they began to lose traction. We have people for whom they lost their job for long enough that they lost their place to live. As a result, the number one cause of homelessness in the United States from all the documented sources appears to be loss of income, with one of the other most significant causes of loss of home ownership being medical bills. And so we see a lot of people that's part of their story, though it's never all of it. I agree most heartily with Chief Watson, and this is one of the reasons it's worked really well together, is that recognizing the individuality of people's stories, how they got there is really unique. And finding ways to work with that individual, meet them where they're at, and bring them forward is the challenge that we all have as community partners together.
See, now you see why I brought him. I like anybody that agrees with me.
Oh, I was just saying it's somebody that filled up the space.
See, I know how to do it.
So there's no time to ask any questions.
He's an expert on one of our community's most pressing needs.
Well, we'll talk about pressing needs when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson and his latest, greatest buddy,
Thomas Steenblok.
Yeah, from Humboldt Open Door. Thomas, is homelessness in Eureka, Greater Eureka, a different dynamic than what it is in some of the other communities along the North Coast? Or is it more homogenous? Everybody's kind of dealing with the same, but the numbers are different.
My general experience thus far, particularly along the North Coast, and I've been to communities outside of our area and across the United States, actually looking at the homeless situations there and learning from that, but it in certain ways is homogenous in that a lot of the same causes are in interaction. I would have said that the homeless populations, there were differences between Arcata and Eureka, for instance, up until the last couple of years, the changes in the marijuana industry, there was folks who were technically homeless who are traveling through as part of an industry that was going on that doesn't exist in the same
Trimigrants.
Way.
Trimigrants?
Yes, right. There we go. Trimigrants, right. as they're often referred to. And that's changed. But generally, a lot of the difference is really in numbers. Eureka's larger. There's more stores. There's more services. There's more space to be. There's more waterfront area where folks are less inclined to be moved or pushed out if they're having to camp and so on. And so, and a lot of the social services and the things that they need to access as we try to move them forward are here. Though our mobile unit, as far as bringing healthcare and case management connection, mental health services, goes to Arcata as well. We go to both places.
So that's an explanation of the wheels, right?
What's that?
Yeah. Wheels, yeah.
Yes, that's, that's why we got them.
Thomas has, I think, some interesting insight about homelessness in Eureka and the various responses, including EPDs. When we completed our homeless comprehensive survey of the homeless in January of 2019, we found that 78% self-reported using St. Vincent de Paul's dining facility for services. And in fact, that's where the Open Doors Mobile Medical also operates and makes it a good place to be. But there was a point where you were maybe thinking of, do we have to consider relocating somewhere else?
Yes, absolutely. The St. Vincent de Paul is a great partner, and what it is that they're feeding folks who very often, that's one of the most nutritious meals, if not the only meal that they're able to get in a day. But on top of it, they allow a number of us, including the MIST and CSET teams from Eureka PD, to be down there. St. Joseph's Health System has one of their resource centers embedded within the building. We're able to be there. Department of Health and Human Services often brings their mobile units down there, and so we're able to all jointly work on kind of the whole person and bring them in. But the problem was, with a lot of the changes in the population, pressure came up after the Santa Rosa fires, a number of things happened, and it really started getting to where I was concerned for our team's safety. There was an increasing number of violent incidents for a while, and
new players in the neighborhood. So
yeah, new players in the neighborhood was definitely part of it, yeah, and
a
part of it,
predatory criminal element was
absolutely
embedded amongst them.
Yeah, there was folks there really kind of almost posing as homeless who were there with other and victimizing both the neighborhoods in general and actually the homeless population, and I was becoming concerned for my team's safety, and I heard rumor that Eureka Police Department, who has been a very good partner to Open Door throughout all the years that we've been here, was going to put a new law enforcement team down there. And I thought to myself, I got to be really frank, I thought, how is that going to help de-escalate things? These are folks that are pretty allergic to uniforms and badges, and I'm like, I can't see this helping. And what came was the CSET team, Sergeant LaFrance and his team and the folks from MIST. And what has happened is I went from being concerned for my team's safety to us having people who are really partners with us. They are there taking care of law enforcement. They are doing what they need to do to keep our community safe. But they are also reaching out and connecting the people that they interact with to help into services. I was really moved by one officer's statement to me, I really don't want to spend time putting people in jail who are clearly just sick and need help. And they've lived that statement. And in a way that I've seen where the folks that we've been interacting with have gone from fearing the police, being angry at the police, to recognizing they may also be here to help me today, and being willing to talk to them and even talk to them about other people within the homeless community that they're concerned about.
The predatory.
Yeah, they're concerned about, and even people who they're worried that may need help as well. And the officers have made good on that, reaching out and helping and connecting to various folks, connecting to us, connecting to partners like Waterfront Recovery Services for those who are ready to make that change, to getting people into clean and sober housing, and to mental health services, and so on. And it's been really powerful in seeing this change where all of us are working together, and the folks that we're serving see that and are engaging in it.
So has that, Thomas, kind of pushed that predatory element out?
All I can say is, from our perspective, we've seen a huge drop in the kind of problems. We've seen the folks that we're working with and helping a lot less afraid of what's going on down there. And I don't feel concerned for my team's well-being and safety in the environment we're in because of the changes down there. So I would say yes. Chief Watson can obviously answer that better,
Steve,
because there are folks directly
interacting.
What does
Lenny say? I mean, are they dealing with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think some have just left, and that's where we've had to use more enforcement maybe for that particular group of recalcitrant individuals that prey on others. There's been some disbursement, but a key point is, if you look at pre community services, our community safety engagement team and post. From when the unit started to today, we saw a 72% drop in violent-related calls for service down at St. Vincent de Paul, 71% drop in property-related calls for service, and 63% reduction in quality of life-related calls for service, while at the same time our self-initiated activity, which is much more than enforcement, like Thomas said, but outreach services in relationships has increased.
It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Thomas Steenblock from Humboldt Open Door Clinic and Chief Steve Watson from good old Steve from EPD. Okay. Sorrowful morning, Steve from EPD.
Yeah, that Niners loss was tough. I'm not over it, I gotta admit. But I am fit for duty.
There you go. Okay. You made it back. Thomas, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there in the area, if I know this is kind of I almost said cop-out, but I shan't. If you had a pile of pixie dust and could deal with one aspect of homelessness on the North Coast that would try to either eliminate the cause or address the results, Where would you use it?
Honestly, in creating housing, available housing that folks could be gotten into. Folks that we encounter who are suffering from homelessness or unstably housed and perhaps on their way there, they have a variety of different reasons they end up there. And so there's a variety of different approaches that are needed to them. Again, as we talked about, really individualized. Some people need more in the way of economic support. Some people need case management and constant attention from folks in order to stay successfully housed, but can do it with enough case managers and healthcare interaction and all of that. But the bottom line is we're struggling to have enough places for people to be.
Now, when you say housing, I know that there have been some attempts over the years, like Denver. Okay, everybody gets a free apartment, and the apartments get trashed in 6 months. Even though they have ownership, it didn't turn out really well.
Right.
So when you say housing, is it ownership? Is it dry space? Is it like Betty's Village? Housing is kind of a broad based. Right. What do you think would be the most effective form of housing?
The most effective form of housing would be something that someone could be in long term. And that means different things for folks with different situations, but affordable rents. People should be set up such that if they can have an income, if they can be employed, that they're paying for their own thing. But it needs to be something that's affordable within the means that they're going to be able to acquire for themselves. Along with that, for folks that maybe have more struggles, or perhaps they have severe mental illness, and so that they're getting an income in a different source that needs to be proportional to that, and they need the support to successfully stay housed. There's the idea of permanent supportive housing. That's for folks that have long-term problems, and they will always need some medical and case management folks touching base with them regularly in order to help them be good tenants and with requirements.
More like a facility than for that segment. Monitor folks on site, you know, making sure that everybody's kind of keeping between the lines.
So or in an apartment and the case manager shops in three times a week. You know,
yeah,
they could be
like
in
an RA.
Exactly. Somebody just checking in with them, seeing how it's going, checking in with the landlord, seeing how it's going, helping them be compliant with the rules about the property so that the property is well maintained and respected. That's important.
Is that kind of what the housing authorities initially was, Steve? I mean, certainly a different different population group. But isn't that kind of what the Eureka Housing Authority does?
There may be some crossover rules with that, but I'm not intimately familiar with their history, just where they are today.
All right, fair. Okay, go back to sleep. Oh, pardon me, morning. Yeah. Thomas, are there communities that are doing that now that are seeing the successful outcome?
There's a number of communities across the country, and it's becoming more and more common to work on these elements of the idea of permanent supportive housing for those who have the highest level of need, more and more zoned low-income housing, largely supported locally, since it's not getting built, kind of coming down from the federal level the way that it used to. And working
state, county, city?
Very often state, and then down to the counties, and the counties distributing money for projects that help produce housing that people can afford within their means.
So it's the manufacturing or the building, constructing of these houses, not the ongoing compensation.
Yeah, that's part of it, is simply that our population has grown. You know, if someone has two kids, both those kids grow up and then they have families, you know, the growth of the need for housing in general grows with the population. And so
which is something we haven't experienced here, the growth of housing.
I mean, exactly, we really haven't.
Not, yeah.
And so one of the things that's happened that's helped incentivize this is tax incentives for contractors who want to build properties for these purposes, for helping create both low-income, affordable, really affordable housing, including some that's set aside for that permanent supportive housing where there'll be case management and other folks coming in and interacting and helping people be generally supportive in staying housed. Because once you get folks housed, obviously the other key is keeping them housed. And when people are in those situations, their health improves, and that's really our focus on that and being involved with this, is how can we help people have healthier lives? Well, housing is healthcare. When people are housed, if you are a diabetic and you don't have a refrigerator, how are you going to maintain your insulin? That's a key thing. You can't. You know, you really can't care for yourself as well when you're out living without adequate housing. You can't store proper food. You don't have quite as many options. Things get expensive for you, so what little income you have. And so by working with multiple partners to try to get people housed, most everything else can be addressed after that. A lot of the escalated behavior that we see from folks that are experiencing homelessness in the community is because they're desperate. They're living in situations, they're uncomfortable. There was frost on the ground this morning. I would hate to wake up from under my blankets, covered in frost, damp, and challenged, wondering how I'm going to get what I need today and where am I going to sleep the next time. And so that I could imagine, and actually, it's not just that I can imagine. I've been homeless in my life. And I know what the experience is actually like. And most of the folks that we encounter really don't want to be where they're at, and they want something different. They're just really challenged to get there on their own. It really does take multiple people. And working with partners like the CSET team, County Mental Health, Social Services, Arcata House Partnership, and a whole number of folks within the community, as well as there is a ton of interested citizens, business owners and others. And we've made progress here in this town. Compared to a couple of years ago, things are looking better. More people are being housed. More people are in a better place. And I think that things have gotten a bit calmer. I know that it's still really challenging.
But we're pointing in the right direction.
We are, and we're doing it as a community.
And that's key. It takes a whole collaborative group working together.
KINS, News and Information Times, 843.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Watson, who's been suspiciously quiet this morning.
This is the third time I've told you this. No,
that's
Brian.
That's just a statement.
It sounds judgy to me.
Thomas Dean Block. Well, okay. Thomas, if folks are in this situation, is it an external or an internal? Yeah, the support that you've been talking about, St. Vinny's helping out, Betty helping out, DHHS helping out. Lots of folks are out there with abilities to assist. Okay, but that still doesn't mean that it's getting the job done if somebody doesn't want it. How do you approach that without being frustrated and going, you know?
Well, how do I approach it without being frustrated?
As humbled Open Door.
Well, part of it is Open Door's, you know, mission is we are here to meet the needs and enhance the health of all the community. We are here to serve everyone. And one of the things that we do that is we objectively accept people for where they are and who they are right now, and we offer them the information, the resources, the connections that are within our power to offer, that when they are ready to make a move, to have a healthier and more fulfilling life, that hand to help them is there. And not only our hand, but the hand of all of our partners.
Now, you mentioned there's a growing population of seniors that are either recently widowed or, I guess, widowed or widowers, with no external family. Is there support for those folks that may not necessarily be medical, but they could still reach out to you guys before it gets to that spot?
Yes, there is support from a variety of programs. You know, we've got the area on, you know, Center for Area on Aging and a number of other partners that are out there. And our case management team is really connected with Department of Health and Human Services to really help people get hooked up with the things that they're eligible for and to try to assist them.
Steve, it's been one of your better shows. Thanks for coming by.
Due to my relative silence.
You play it out how you want to. See everybody tomorrow.